Autobots, the Decepticons, the Transformers, Robots in Disguise, the Transformers, more than the FBI, the Transformers.
And you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, Brian Kilby here. Kind of a short show this week. I've been trying to catch up on a few things here. And basically didn't have a lot of time to get the things in. A couple of segments are not in the show this week. We were going to have trivia, but didn't really find anything that I wanted to use. No bad dubbed Japanese line of the week, because basically, that's very time consuming getting these things. If anyone has any suggestions out there, email me at brian@tfradio.com. Otherwise, it may be a few weeks or a month or so before we get back into doing that. On the show this week, we do have the ATT Buzz by John DeLuna, an impromptu review of Blast Punch Optimus Primal, the first in a new series of segments on what makes a good Transformers website and, in general, what a good Transformers website is. I'm pretty sure that's about it. Also, I was asked to mention that WheezeBucket.com is now no longer WheezeBucket.com. It is available at WheezeBucket.net. And for those of you who know, WheezeBucket is a pretty darn cool website out there with all sorts of little Transformers stuff, cartoon MP3s, and is run by some good people. And now that I think of it, I probably need to update the link section. But it is now available at WheezeBucket.net. Now let's get right into the show with the ATT Buzz by John DeLuna.
I've never seen anything this beautiful in the entire galaxy. All right, give me the bomb.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz. What's up? Well, I'll tell you. What is up, BotCon? Less than 3 weeks away, and it looks like, sounds like, that most people got their BotCon confirmation letters this weekend, and myself included, you're talking, listening to number 11. And for those people who were lucky enough, i.e. me, to go to the dinner, we also got our menu with the usual beef, chicken, vegetable choices. And I gotta say, although I'm not too fond of beef, I'm tempted to order it just on principle, because this dinner cost me $70, and it looks like all I'm getting as of right now is a sneak peek at the exclusives, maybe a CD, and the chance to pester and annoy the guests while they mash on a dinner roll, which is pretty much what happened last year. Although it was nice, if we get another dinner plate or at least a complimentary cup with Rodimus Prime's face on it to go well with our BotCon 2000 plates, I'll be happy. But, depending on what's on that music CD that chances are we're going to get, I still won't be too disappointed. What I would like for that CD more than anything, really, honestly, is a Beast Machines soundtrack. If we're going to get Beast Wars or Beast Machines, and we don't get both, if we have to choose one or the other, I'm voting for Beast Machines. Personally, I like that better. It's a little more to my taste. Beast Wars had a good soundtrack. It was above average, like the rest of the show, but I kind of found it forgettable. I can only remember, personally, from Beast Wars, the opening theme, maybe a few character themes like Black Arachnia, or some of the Jungle Beats, things like that, but other than that, I thought Beast Wars had a pretty unforgettable soundtrack. High quality, it just didn't really stick. Also, while looking over the BotCon confirmation stuff, the schedule for the events, it's becoming quite apparent that 2 days right now, as big as BotCon is, and it's only going to get bigger, 2 days is just not enough. It seems to fit and cram and smash all the events into 2 days. Into basically, actually, two afternoons, because the mornings of Saturday and Sunday, for the most part, are pretty much reserved for the dealers. Also, Transformers, a theatrical showing, It's going to be in a panel room. Not in a theater like last year, which is kind of disappointing. It's one of the reasons why I wouldn't mind it if Fort Wayne became the permanent home for BotCon, because that was perfect. We had a movie theater right across the street. We had a dealer room that was really, honestly, plenty big. The dealer rooms are probably the one part of BotCon that I can see a cap being put on, frankly, because there comes a point where 90% of the dealers in the dealer room aren't worth anything. I mean, they don't have much to offer that the other dealers don't. And if you keep expanding the dealer rooms, you're not going to improve the quality. Maybe not even the quantity. It's just going to get watered down, basically, with more dealers and more of those newer dealers having less and less stuff that's desirable or even worth your time. Just taking up space, dead weight. So that's one part of BotCon that I can see reaching a ceiling. And right now, it's at a good ceiling. Last year's dealer room was plenty big. There was a good selection relative to what you find elsewhere. Could have been better, but still, it was fine. And the number of dealers was perfect, really, and that's the most important part. You leave up the selection of toys and stuff to them, but you can put a cap on the number of dealers. And Fort Wayne seemed, perfect for BotCon. Everything was right there. I don't know about Durham, but I can see right off the bat that the fact that the theatrical showing isn't in a theater is going to take away a lot of the novelty. Also, lots of things run into each other, especially on Sunday. Sunday is a real mishmash. The theatrical showing, the Mystery Science Theater 3000 presentation, Hasbro Q&A, the people who run the G1 TV and comic, their Q&A, the art contest results, the BotCon Q&A, all of that runs back to back to back to back. At the same time, we have Beast Wars voice actors signing, and the G1 TV guys and comic guys signing autographs, all that stuff at the same time on Sunday. That's a rush. That's going to be hard to fit in for anybody to catch any of that, especially if you want autographs, which is something I want. It means on Saturday or Sunday, I'm going to have to skip out of a lot of panels and a lot of presentations that I want to see. So, I mean, you're going to have to pick and choose. And I don't know if picking and choosing is the best thing to have at this kind of convention. I mean, you shouldn't really have to be able to pick and choose and skip out on certain things. You should be able to schedule it. So there's a good chance, if not a certainty, that you can catch everything you want. And, you know, the autograph sessions shouldn't be a luxury like they seem to be. They shouldn't be like a fallback. I mean, there's something that lots of people want and they want to do, and those lines are hell. And they take a long time to get through to get a simple autograph, but people are willing to do it. And I'm willing to do it to get the autograph, but you shouldn't have to sacrifice stuff for it. Now, to wrap up the buzz this week, like I said last week, I was going to talk about plastics falling apart and deteriorating in Transformers, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, ironically, it seems that the youngest G1 stuff for us, relative to us, which would be the Monster Pretenders, the very late Pretenders, the larger Pretenders, Mega Size, Ultra Size, like Vroom or Skyhammer, those toys that are plastic, is falling apart on us in two very distinct ways. First of all, the Monster Pretenders, their shell, their rubber shell, melts in package. It seems that the trapped air in the carded Monster Pretenders oxidizes or goes through some kind of chemical change where it melts, falls apart, and there's nothing you can do about it, which means if you're lucky enough to spend $500 or so on a full set of Mint on Card Monster Pretenders, don't even bother opening the Pretender shell part, because all you're going to do is ruin that $500 quote-unquote investment, because it turns to slime. There's nothing you can do about it. Now, as far as the bigger Pretenders go, everybody pretty much knows. All five of the people in this world who have witnessed, who have actually seen Ultra and Mega Pretenders, know that their plastic is terrible. It breaks right out of the box. It's brittle. It's lightweight. It's cheap. quite frankly. It was the end of the G1 run, and Hasbro was probably cutting corners left and right. And Ultra and Mega Pretenders, frankly, it's easy to cut corners on those. If you don't know what those are, they're basically Pretenders taken two or three steps further. A robot with a Pretender shell that goes inside a bigger Pretender shell. And basically all of it, all three steps, transform in some way or the other with lots of accessories. And so basically what you've got are two shells and a cheap robot, and it's easy to cut corners. And they did. Cheap plastic, brittle plastic. Needless to say, it's pretty disappointing to see this kind of stuff happening. And it's going to happen in the earlier Diaclone version toys. It already does if you don't take care of them. The tires, rubber tires split. The white plastic yellows. Sometimes with very little, if not any, discernible sunlight put on them, they just wear away. But the earlier later Pretenders are really falling apart, and it's nobody's fault but Hasbro's, quite frankly. It's not ours. They're so rare, they're taken care of with great care, because people know, well, they're collector's items. They're not just toys. They're very obscure collector's items, because nobody bought Mega or Ultra Pretenders back then, because Transformers was dying. Same reason Action Masters only get the respect that they deserve, quite frankly. They deserve all the respect in the world, because Action Masters rule. Especially when you look at PVCs today. These are modern PVCs, people. They're nice, they look nice, but frankly, they can't hold a candle to Action Masters. Action Masters are fun. They've got pretty good articulation. Almost in line with an old G.I. Joe toy, which has great articulation. They've got fun vehicles. They're good-looking renditions of the old characters. Action Masters are great. Pick some up, and I'll see you at BotCon. That's HC Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
Amazing. A booby trap that actually catches boobies.
Okay, this is basically a spur-of-the-moment review. A couple hours ago, I got my Beast Machines Mega Blast Punch Optimus Primal from Big Bad Toy Store. It took me about 3 days to get it. Not bad at all. It was $17.99 plus their $4 flat rate shipping. Now, on to the review. The first thing I noticed when I was opening it, it's kind of like he's King Kong because of the way that the twist ties are holding the toy down. His arms are bound, his legs are bound, even his head is bound by the twist ties. You know, it's insignificant, but it's just sort of nice to notice. Looking at the Beast Mode, I like the Beast Mode a lot. I mean, it looks like a gorilla, plain and simple. I mean, it doesn't look like a real gorilla, but it looks like a techno-organic gorilla, and that's exactly what it is. It's better than the gorilla mode for the Deluxe Optimus Primal, and those of you who remember my review of that toy, which I may not have reviewed it on RFC, but I know I reviewed it online somewhere, I know that I actually like that toy a lot. Blast Punch Primal is your standard Beast Wars and Beast Machines isn't so standard. Your standard Beast Wars size Mega. He stands about 7-8 inches tall in a robot mode. Beast mode about 5 inches. The Beast mode, like I said, is nice. It has nice dimensions to it. It's in scale pretty much. The arms are the right size, as it should be. The legs are smaller in the back. He has that nice hump. Well, he has a nice hump on his back. You know, it looks like a gorilla. Transforming the toy is very, very easy. I'm usually a big proponent of simple transformations, because that's one thing I liked about the G1 toys for the most part. They were simple to transform. instead of, you know, nightmares like Tripredicus, which is like the most evil toy ever. Like I said, it's easy to transform, but it's too easy. He basically involves little, you know, flipping around of pieces. I mean, literal flipping. You change one side to the other, one side to the other, and you have it. The beast arms are the robot arms. The beast legs are the beast, or the robot legs. And the head is in the exact same position. The robot mode is, I'm not too crazy about it. His arms aren't very movable, you know. They're basically stuck in one position, you know. He has elbows, but they're kind of pointless. The blast punch gimmick is really lame, you know. You twist this around on his arm until it goes pop. You know, it's not very threatening at all. The coolest punch gimmick ever, by the way, was He-Man figure. What was the name of that? Well, the He-Man figure had the cap. You pull it back and pop. That was the nicest punch gimmick. And so far, this is the weakest that I've seen. The colors in robot mode are okay. He's very orange and yellow. There's this punch sound. He has a nice head. It looks more like the show model than the deluxe does. And, of course, it is supposed to. Because the Battle for the Spark toys do have a much closer resemblance to the show model than the original line did, because the original line came first. Really, the Beast mode is superior to the Robot mode, in my opinion, because the Robot mode is like a really big, muscled-up guy who has no flexibility whatsoever. When it looks nice, but it's kind of flat and boring. Optimus Primal has had a pretty good run as far as toys go, with the best being probably the Ultra Optimus Primal, and the worst being the Bat. As far as I'm concerned, the second best is Transmetal. Third is, believe it or not, the Beast Machines. Then we have Optimal Optimus, and Blast Punch Primal comes somewhere between Optimal Optimus and the Bat. But for $15, you know, he's worth it. He looks like the show model. He's not got much play value, but he displays well. And I display my toys more than I play with them. So, for display value alone, he's worth it, but if you want to play with him, he's not much of a toy. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best, he gets a 5. You know, basic standard toy. Nothing special, you know, nothing too bad. You know, it'd be nice if he were a better toy, but you get what you pay for. If you can find him on the shelves, get him that way, but if you can't, I don't know if he's worth paying $23 for from Big Bad Toy Store or not. I really don't think he is. But he's definitely worth paying the base MSRP of $15.
Would you like to hear today?
You don't happen to have any stories about birthdays, do you?
Birthdays?
You know, like maybe one of the Transformers forgot somebody's birthday or something?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Over the past few months, I've noticed on message boards that a lot of people are discussing what their favorite website is. Transformers website. Or rather, what they consider to be the best, quote-unquote, Transformers website out there is. And sadly, I'm often appalled at the results. It's sad, but the absolute most useful and even the best Transformers websites out there don't get the traffic they truly deserve because they often don't have a .com attached to them, or they don't have episodes to download. We at RFC try to be your BS filter. We get rid of the nonsense and tell you like it is. Because of this, I'm going to go over what truly makes a great Transformers website. And every week after this, or to the best of my ability, I'm going to go over what I consider to be a site that truly meets these requirements. And I'm going to go over the list of requirements here. You ready? Number one, content. Now let me stress that. Content. Really, that's it. You know, Greg Gaub's spinning logos rule, you know, but stealing them and putting them on a list of your favorite Transformers episodes, you know, that isn't the ideal way to make a web page. Oh, and don't steal those, by the way. It makes Greg cry. And, of course, it makes you look like a 7-year-old. And if you're a 7-year-old, it makes you look like you've not even been born yet. A good site has a lot of content. It isn't just a .com with a cool, hip, insanely photoshopped layout with a few episodes to download and a message board. There are a lot of websites out there like that. The truly great sites are the ones that you are drawn back to. For what? Well, usually for information. You know, there are some truly great multimedia sites out there, too. But, you know, it's a lot harder to make one of those. But there are a few. There are a few other things for websites that make them great, but you know, they're mostly minor. They have to be able to be navigated fairly easily because, you know, you can have all the content in the world, but if you can't get to it, you haven't got much of a website. Also, load times need to be minimized, but, you know, as long as it doesn't take you 5 minutes to load a site, you should be okay. It's common sense. But content is by far the most important thing for a site to have. And usually unique content, you know, stealing the Transformers FAQ by Steve O. Stonebreaker, you know, that's content, but taking it off his site and taking credit for it, you know, that doesn't cut it. A good example of a site with a lot of original content, because I can't cover it because he's attached to RFC, I'll say Zubivore's multifaceted Transformers website. It has bukus of content. Has a Transformers encyclopedia. It has voice actors information. It has an image archive of his art. It has his voice samples. It has a ton of stuff. It isn't just some icons thrown up on a web page that says download me. There's actually meat to the site. You know, there are things to avoid, though, if you want to have a truly great Transformers site. And really, none of these disqualify you from having a good site. They just irk me. Number one. Leet speak, especially in news pages. It's popular now for sites to have news pages. If you do, please spell correctly and use passable grammar. PLZ isn't a word, neither is KEWL. Remember that. Any site that uses language like that, I skip. And lots of other people do too. Number two, top 50, top 100, top whatever buttons. These are the tools of Satan. I first noticed these things on Dragon Ball Z websites. They serve no purpose other than to bring traffic to the site who originated the list. That's all they do. Number three is stealing Greg Gaub's spinning logos. If you use these and aren't giving Greg credit, your site automatically loses points. Stealing content is bad. Stealing content is wrong. The same thing goes for Dan the Art Guy's work, Zubivore's work, and any other talented, artistic type person out there. Don't steal content. Number four is Photoshop. You know, now I live by Photoshop, don't get me wrong, but there are too many sites out there who abuse Photoshop. If it takes 5 minutes for your page to load, you are probably abusing Photoshop. Cut it down. Remember that content is key. And that's pretty much it. You know, there are a few other minor annoyances, but that's about all I can think of off the top of my head. If you do any of these things, don't fret. You know, I use too much Photoshop. I'm guilty, too. If you notice, there's a lens flare on that RSE logo image thing. Yes, lens flare. You know, if you use Elite Speak, I'd definitely slow down on that immediately. And I would definitely discontinue use of art that I didn't own until I got permission from the original creator. Now, I know I'm not aware of all the truly great Transformers websites out there. And I know I'm forgetting some, too. Drop me a line and tell me what you think at brian@tfradio.com. Or post them to the RSC message board at the AllSpark. It's available at theallspark.com or at tfradio.net at the top of the page. So tune in next week when we'll have the review of our first site, and take note that sites that are closely affiliated with Radio Free Cybertron, like Goldemans.net or ColdHeartSlag.com, are disqualified.
What's the matter, Tommy? I thought you wanted to hear a story about birthdays.
Brian, how could you forget my birthday?
Oh, is that all that's bothering you?
Surprise!
It's from all the Autobots.
Wow! You didn't forget after all.
Happy birthday, Tommy.
Thanks, Brian.
And I suppose that's Radio Free Cybertron for this week. By the way, I'd like to thank Zabavor for the Season 5 surprise party clips there. I now have the entire run on tape of Season 5, which I got from Rockman666 at, I guess his website is TFRID.com, I believe so anyway. So we'll hopefully be hearing more of Tommy Kennedy and his pal Optimus Prime in upcoming shows. And tune in next week for more Radio Free Cybertron. Thanks for listening. ¶¶